Good afternoon. My name is Joelle, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Amerigo Resources Q1 2024 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the formal remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telepad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star two. Thank you. Mr. Graham Farrell of Harbor Access Investor Relations, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon and welcome everyone to Amerigo's quarterly conference call to discuss the company's financial results for the first quarter of 2024. We appreciate you joining us today. This call will cover Amerigo's financial and operating results for the first quarter ended March 31st, 2024. Following our prepared remarks, we will open the conference call to a question and answer session. Our call today will be led by Amerigo's Chief Executive Officer, Aurora Davidson, along with the company's Chief Financial Officer, Carmen Amezquita. Before we begin with our formal remarks, I would like to remind everyone that some of the statements on this conference call may be forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements may include, but are not necessarily limited to, financial projections or other statements of the company's plans, objective expectations or intentions. These matters involve certain risks and uncertainties. The company's actual results may differ significantly from those projected or suggested by any forward-looking statements due to a variety of factors which are discussed in detail in our SEDAR filings. I will now hand the call over to Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Aurora.
Thank you, Graham. Welcome to Amerigo's earnings call for the first quarter of 2024. All dollar figures reported in the call are U.S. dollars, except where we specifically refer to Canadian dollars. Amerigo's first quarter results were operationally and financially solid. Copper production was our guidance, and cash costs outperformed guidance by 9%. Our average copper price during the first quarter was $3.95 per pound. That is not a bad price, but it is nowhere near what we have today. At this $3.95 copper price, Amerigo's financial results included net income of $4.3 million, EBITDA of $13.6 million, and free cash flow to equity of $7.3 million. After my remarks, Carmen will provide a full recap of the quarterly financial results. During the quarter, Amerigo's quarterly dividend to shareholders was $3.7 million, representing a 7.7% yield against our quarter-end share price. The investment yield remains best in class at today's higher Amerigo share price, and as you know, this secure quarterly dividend yield is only one of the ways in which we return capital to shareholders. As mentioned, our copper price in the first quarter was $3.95 per pound. In April, the average price increased to $4.30, and today's spot price is $4.41. This sharp increase in copper prices did not surprise us, as it confirms our analysis of copper supply and demand dynamics. For several quarters, we have described the driving factors behind strong global copper demand and the factors hindering meaningful secular growth in global copper supplies. Demand is now outstripping supply. Global PMIs are coming in strong, and improvement in manufacturing activity is expected to continue. Historically, recoveries in global manufacturing cycles positively correlate with copper prices. In particular, recent Chinese PMIs have been strong, and there continues to be robust demand for green projects in China, as was the case in 2023. India's manufacturing activity is also very robust, recording the strongest PMI of all countries in March. India's copper demand grew 16% in 2023. Double-digit growth is again expected this year. One study quotes that for each $1 million growth in Indian GDP, we will have a 300% kilogram growth in copper demand. Simply put, global copper demand continues to grow, and as demand continues to grow, there are clear risks to copper supply. Last year, global copper consumption was 25.4 million tons, while global copper mine production was 22 million tons. Consumption grew, but copper mine supply remained flat last year. For 2024, copper consumption is expected to grow by 3.5%, and refined copper production is expected to grow by 3.1%. However, global mine production, which is the lifeblood of refined copper production, is stalling. So consumption is outpacing refined copper supply and mine production, which feeds the smelters that produce refined copper, cannot be turned on like a light switch. So what needs to happen to get additional copper mine supply going? The old assumption that $4 per pound is the incentive price is no longer valid. This is clearly shown by the lack of recently sanctioned copper projects. The last time a batch of large copper projects was approved due to higher copper prices was in 2017 and 2018, with projects such as Quellaveco and QB2. However, the stronger copper prices we started to see in 2021 still have not incentivized miners to invest in new projects. $4 copper is insufficient to justify the risk of approving new copper projects. New capacity is coming primarily from expansion projects, not from greenfields, as used to be the case. Copper miners have slowed expansion for over a decade due to higher capital costs, higher projected operational costs, and more regulation. The permitting processes are complex, and they are lengthening, with increased risk of resource nationalism. We also cannot ignore the declining quality of new projects. Copper prices were lower when copper was mined from higher grade mines or mine sectors. A company cannot mine its highest grade sections indefinitely. And as copper grades decrease, a higher price is required for profitability and most certainly to invest in new projects. Earlier this year, $11,000 a ton, essentially $5 a pound, was floated as the new incentive price. But that is just one price point to consider. Robert Friedland, perhaps the most vocal copper supporter and long-term industry spokesman, says that in an incentive price of $15,000 a pound is necessary to bring on new projects. If short-lived, a price spike to these levels cannot incentivize substantial new projects. Copper miners would need a sustained period of higher prices to sanction new projects. Of course, to say that Amerigo would flourish in this pricing environment would be quite an understatement. Our capital return strategy has been designed to quickly maximize our returns to investors under the pricing circumstances I have just described. Industry analysts estimate that at least $200 billion of investment is required in the next decade to fix a 10 million ton copper deficit. That massive investment figure is based on current capital intensity estimates and does not reflect inflationary pressures that are occurring in the industry. In a moment, I will tell you another example of Amerigo's competitive advantage in this area. To sum up my comments on the macro situation, we know that for the rest of this decade, there will be limited new copper supply coming online. We also know that a higher incentive price is required to bring additional capacity online and that there are long lead times to add supply. In our opinion, this market dynamics will establish a new floor price for copper, just as occurred in 2003 with the industrialization and urbanization of China. So this is where we are now in Amerigo. Strong copper prices, stable operations, controlled costs, low capex, declining debt levels, and a proven capital return policy. The quarterly dividend of 3 cents Canadian per share is our live or die cash obligation to shareholders, and it is very safe under these conditions. We're building up our cash position to the desired target of $25 million, which happens very quickly under current copper prices. Additional cash will be distributed to shareholders via performance dividends, share buybacks, or a combination of both. As a reflection of the increasingly positive market sentiment, the questions I receive from shareholders have changed from at what copper price is the quarterly dividend safe to whether we will be buying back shares or paying a performance dividend. The board of directors analyzes multiple elements to determine how best to allocate surplus cash for the benefit of shareholders. For example, we know that the timing of our cash generation cycle is inverse to the timing of buybacks. At higher copper prices, ample cash is generated to buy back shares, but this would typically occur at a higher share price because Amerigo's share price is so responsive to changes in copper price. Of course, in a perfect world, we prefer to buy back shares at lower prices. And in fact, that is what we have done. In 2021, Amerigo shares have been repurchased at an average price of Canadian $1.50. We are currently trading at Canadian $1.76, which is 17% above that average purchase price. However, the real strength of the capital return strategy we have is having multiple tools to return excess cash to shareholders quickly. We can use the quarterly dividend, a performance dividend based on elevated copper prices and thus higher cash balances, or share buybacks. These different tools amplify the effect of shareholders' long-term return on invested capital. It is also amplified because of how quickly the tangible effects of the strategy can be felt, particularly for the dividend components of the strategy. Now I will provide a brief operational update. During the first quarter, we had another excellent safety record at MVC with no lost time accidents. In fact, on January 29th of this year, we celebrated 2 years without lost time accidents at MVC. This is significant to all of us. This week, we're not producing copper at MVC as we're doing the annual plant maintenance shutdown. This is a planned event that we factor into our annual production guidance. It is a monumental endeavor as we bring in 667 additional workers to ensure we can complete more than 500 necessary projects when all the equipment is shut down. This shutdown is a crucial part of our operational planning as it allows us to maintain and upgrade our equipment, ensuring optimal production in the long run. This shutdown period is also perfect for bringing any new production-related projects online. MVC's standby power transformer, a significant risk mitigation project, is coming online this week. As you may recall, when we issued our 2024 guidance news release, we informed the market that we were evaluating two CapEx projects that would contribute to increasing production. We also indicated that the projects could be initiated this year, subject to further technical analysis and higher copper prices. I am pleased to report that we are proceeding with these projects and want to tell you more about them. Together, they will generate an additional 345 tons or around 760,000 pounds of copper per year once they are completed. The projects will cost approximately $2.3 million, representing a very low CapEx intensity of $6,600 per ton, which is significantly lower than the $30,000 to $40,000 per ton capital intensity, which is typically required today for new copper projects. This is a perfect example of the benefits of Amerigo's low capital needs and operational excellence. The first project involves installing more uniforms in the regrind cyclone battery to improve the pumping equipment in that process stage. This should increase recovery and translates to better production. The second project involves installing new operational control equipment in the cleaning stage to better control water, air, and level variables, further increasing efficiency. This CapEx should be seen as quote unquote growth CapEx as it makes sense to initiate, and it makes sense to initiate them now with higher copper prices. The fact that the cost of Amerigo's growth is so much less than the rest of the industry is compounded by how quickly shareholders will feel the benefits. For example, at a $3.80 copper price, the payback of the projects is 15 months, with the subsequent cash flows available to shareholders using any of our capital return strategy tools. To end my remarks, I will tell you that we performed strongly in April, and so did copper. The potential to return additional capital to shareholders this year should be very apparent, whether through the payment of our first performance dividend, the retirement of shares, or a combination of both. As a shareholder, I believe this is a great place to be. Last week, on April the 30th, we had Amerigo's annual general meeting of shareholders. I want to thank our shareholders for their patience and support as they voted in favor of all business items before the AGM. Our next earnings call will be on August the 1st, 2024, to discuss the Q2 financial results. As usual, if you have further questions about Amerigo, Carmen, Graham, or I are available anytime. I will now ask Carmen Amezquita, Amerigo's Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the company's financial results. Carmen, please go ahead.
Thank you, Aurora.
We are pleased to present the Q1 2024 quarterly financial report from Amerigo and its MVC operation in Chile. As Aurora mentioned, we are pleased to report strong financial results in the first quarter of 2024. We posted net income of $4.3 million, earnings per share of 3 cents, and operating cash flow before changes in non-cash working capital of $10.2 million. The comments on quarterly financial performance and quarter-on-quarter variances with Q1 2023 are as follows. Copper production in Q1 2024 was 500,000 pounds lower quarter-on-quarter due to MVC's production plan sequence. This decrease in production and the fact that Amerigo's financial performance is sensitive to copper prices impacted our top-line copper revenue. The company's Q1 2024 average copper price was $3.95 per pound, which was lower than the $4.02 per pound price we had in Q1 2023. Top-line copper revenue was $61.3 million in Q1 2024, compared to $66.8 million in the comparative quarter. The notional items deducted from top-line copper revenue were all lower quarter-on-quarter. These include DET royalties of $16.7 million, smelting and refining of $6.2 million, and transportation of $0.4 million. In Q1 2024, we had positive fair value adjustments to prior quarter sales of $1.5 million, which were lower than the $3.4 million in positive adjustments posted in Q1 2023. After these revenue deductions, copper tolling revenue in Q1 2024 was $39.5 million compared to $44.6 million quarter-on-quarter. Our molybdenum revenue was lower this quarter at $5.5 million compared to $8 million, primarily due to the decrease in moly prices. In Q1 2023, moly prices were exceptionally strong, surpassing $30 per pound. Therefore, Amerigo's final revenue numbers in Q1 2024 were $44.9 million, down from $52.6 million in Q1 2023, driven fundamentally by lower copper and moly prices. However, our tolling and production costs also decreased 5% quarter-on-quarter to $37.1 million, compared to $39.2 million in Q1 2023. Reasons for reduced tolling and production costs included decreases in direct costs of $1.6 million, which I will address shortly, and lower moly royalties to DET of $800,000 due to lower moly prices, and lower plant administration costs of $500,000. Offsetting these lower costs was an increase in depreciation of $800,000 quarter-on-quarter from CapEx projects put into use at the end of 2023 that began to be depreciated during the quarter. Regarding the performance of direct tolling and production costs, in Q1 2024, we faced lower power costs due to lower power consumption and lower pass-through charges, lower grinding media costs due to less consumption and lower input costs, and lower costs overall due to 17% weaker Chilean peso quarter on quarter. However, we did have higher lime costs of $400,000 due to higher consumption associated with higher processing of Cauquenes tailings and increased lime costs. Our head office general and administration expenses were $1.3 million, consistent quarter on quarter. Other losses gains included a loss of $41,000 compared to a gain of $1.5 million in Q1 2023, mainly an unrealized foreign exchange gain coming from an intercompany loan balance that was cleared out at the end of 2023. The company's finance expense in Q1 2024 was $0.5 million compared to $0.8 million in the prior quarter. The difference mostly came from changes in the mark-to-market position of interest rate swaps. The company recognized an income tax expense of $1.7 million, with a current tax expense of $3.1 million, offset by deferred income tax recovery of $1.4 million. As a side note, most of the current tax expense occurs at the MVC level, and under Chilean tax provisions, MVC is required to pay monthly installments on current year tax. This means that most of the actual tax expense for the year is being paid on the go,
minimizing taxes payable in filing tax returns for the preceding year. All of the above items resulted in a quarterly net income of $4.3 million compared to $9.1 million quarter on quarter. Before moving to the statement of financial position, I should mention two non-IFRS measures, cash cost and all-in sustaining cost, which we started reporting this quarter. Amerigo's cash cost in Q1 2024 was $1.96 per pound, increasing from $1.91 per pound quarter on quarter. However, this includes 7 cents per pound paid to MBC's supervisors as the signing bonus of a 3-year collective labor agreement. The normalized cash cost, excluding the effect of the signing bonus, was $1.89 per pound. While this may look like only a 1 cent per pound reduction quarter on quarter, it's important to note that moly byproduct credits to cash costs were 15 cents per pound lower in Q1 2024 due to lower moly prices. We've started reporting all-in sustaining costs this quarter to include cash costs plus DET royalties and depreciation, in other words, total cost, plus sustaining capex and corporate G&A. In Q1 2024, our all-in sustaining cost was $3.57 per pound compared to $3.79 per pound in Q1 2023. Moving on to the statement of financial position, on March 31, 2024, the company had cash and cash equivalents of $13.8 million, restricted cash of $6.2 million, and a working capital deficiency of $4.2 million, which was a significant reduction from the working capital deficiency of $12.3 million on December 31, 2023. A significant change in working capital items was in accounts receivable, which increased by $7.2 million. In our receivable cycle, MBC received payment for most of these receivables during the first week of April. The totality of MBC's restricted cash is also now a current asset, as $3.5 million will be released per the terms of the finance agreement on January 1, 2025. Short-term debt came down as a $1.8 million payment was made during the first banking day of 2024. All other working capital items remain comparable to the December 31, 2023 balances. Regarding cash flow during the quarter, Amerigo generated cash flow from operations of $10.2 million, and the net cash flow generated in the quarter, including the changes in working capital, was $4.5 million. In terms of uses of cash, $1.1 million was used in investing activities for CapEx, and $5.3 million was used in financing activities, which included $3.7 million in dividends paid to shareholders at Canadian 3 cents per share, as well as $1.8 million in the repayment of borrowings. As a final comment, our Q1 2024 copper sales were booked at a provisional copper price of $3.97 per pound. The final settlement prices for January, February, and March 2024 sales will be the average LME prices for April, May, and June 2024, respectively. Each 10% change from the $3.97 per pound provisional price would result in a $6.3 million change in revenue in Q1 2024 regarding Q1 2024 production. We now know the April price, which was $4.30 per pound. Therefore, the adjustment for Q1 2024 sales in April will be roughly $5.3 million. And today's spot price is $4.41 per pound. We will report Amerigo's Q2 2024 financial results in August 2024, and thank you for your continued interest in this company. We will now take questions from call participants.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by the two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from Steve Ferrazzani with Sidoti. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Afternoon, Aurora, Carmen. Appreciate all the detail on the call. I wanted to ask about cash costs because I know you were comparing it year over year, but if we look at it, the significant decline sequentially and also well below your guidance just given a couple months ago, anything one-off in the quarter? I know you cited the weaker peso, but anything to say that this lower level of cash cost, particularly the normalized cash cost, which we'd see, is more sustainable now?
Steve, thank you for the call. The Chilean peso has an impact, obviously, and we have provided all of the variability that one could expect on our guidance news release. In practice, we saw lower pass-through charges as well. We don't know what the level of the charges is going to be from month to month, so we basically project in our budgeting process the most recent information, plus any other changes that have been communicated to industrial consumers. So far in Q1, they were lower than what they were in the last quarter of 2023, so that's another source of impact. We use less grinding balls than we thought we would need. That varies depending on the mix of fresh and cocaine tailings that we are putting through the grinding circuit. On the other side, we did have, as Carmen mentioned, higher line costs. In general terms, we monitor the operation constantly. We're always looking for opportunities of cost containment. So I would say our guidance remains valid for the rest of the year, depending considerably on how the Chilean peso behaves. It's right. Surprising to see what has happened with the Chilean peso. There is a significant decoupling between CLP performance compared to copper prices. Normally, what you used to see years ago was a stronger Chilean peso in response to stronger copper prices. We haven't seen that yet this year. It may be lagging or it may be more of a structural.
Perfect, thank you. In terms of the production optimization equipment, it sounds like you're installing them during this shutdown. Is that accurate? Are we going to see the benefits really as early as 3Q, or what's your timing on that?
I wish it happened like that. It doesn't happen like that. We have approved. The projects have just been approved. Essentially, this week when we presented the capital allocation proposal to the board of directors, and we supported it with the technical analysis and with our projections for copper prices for the rest of the year. We are starting to work on them. Basically, once we finish the current shutdown, which is taking place this week. It will take approximately 7 months for works to be completed, and then we have to wait for another shutdown period to put it to put that in place. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to accelerate that deployment and those early works now, so that they will be ready for the next plant shutdown to come online. Plant shutdowns have been occurring in May for the last years. They used to occur in January in prior years. So we have to be ready for that in case that's when El Teniente will be having their 2025 shutdown. So don't adjust your projections for this year. This is basically getting ready for 2025 with that project, with those two projects.
Understood. Perfect. It sounded like Carmen indicated that so you had the receivables build, but it sounds like that reversed right at the beginning of April. If it did, then you're back up to, you should have been back up to about $20 million plus in cash last month. So you're closing in on that target area where you might start considering a buyback again. Is that fair? And given where copper prices are now, you're probably closing in.
We're getting close.
Okay, and last one for me. On second straight quarter, Cauquenes was a larger percentage of the mix than it historically has been over the last couple of years. And any reason for that, or is that just quarter-to-quarter shift?
That is in response to the feed or to the in response to the throughput that we get from El Teniente. And it is one of the advantages that we have spoken about in prior quarters. We have that flexibility if we get lower throughput from El Teniente for their own mine sequencing or operational reasons. We can always go in and chunk up a little bit more of Cauquenes to keep up our production guidance online.
Any reason to think that could extend into this year or?
El Teniente had a rock climbing incident last year in May. It is factored into our plan for this year that this will be resolved in the second half of the year, and we would then be able to revert back to our normal parameters. Q2, Q1 2023 are good comparison points there.
Okay.
But if that doesn't happen, and if they need some more time to get back to their normal operational parameters, it's not of concern to us. We can continue doing what we've done in Q1.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Thanks, Aurora. Thanks, Carmen.
Your next question comes from John Pulcheri with Mutual of America Capital Management. Your line is open.
Thank you. Aurora, thank you for taking the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have a question, please press star followed by the one. Your next question comes from John Tomazo with John Tomazo's Independent Research. Your line is open.
Thank you. I was attentive, Aurora, to how optimistic you are about the future of the copper market. Do you plan to make larger capital investments to expand your milling complex because of the good outlook for copper? Or will you acquire other assets beyond your tie up with El Teniente to increase your exposure to the copper market?
John, our investments at MVC are at the optimal stage. We have done our expansion to increase our plant capacity. We worked that in conjunction with the mining plan for El Teniente, from El Teniente, so we're fine at MVC. Obviously, the outlook for copper is very strong in our opinion, and we know how to operate very well with copper tailings. We look for these opportunities, but they have to be the right opportunities. We're not just going to go and seek operations that don't make economic sense. Obviously, with the stronger copper prices, I think that tailings will be an area of focus for other miners. They will see them as an area of opportunity rather than just an environmental liability. And when that is the case, we're a better position than anyone to work with other partners in recovering copper from copper tailings.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from John Pulcheri with Mutual of America.
Thanks.
Your line is now open.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. Aurora, just four quick questions. First, is there any possibility or discussion as copper prices, if copper prices continue to ramp up, that you would move maybe to some partial hedging from a zero hedging strategy, or at the moment and for the immediate future, is that the continued strategy just to stay completely unhedged?
We have no immediate plans of hedging. We are not looking at hedging right away, but we always analyze the costs and the potential benefits of doing that, but there's nothing in front of us right now.
Okay. Secondly, the recently approved optimization projects, I think you might have answered this already. I was wondering what the estimated payback period was. I think you said something like 7 months to complete, and then after that it would start to have an impact. Is that what I heard earlier?
It is 7 months of preliminary works to get them in hookup mode, and then we're waiting. We will be waiting for. We need at least 8 days of equipment shutdown to okay. bring them online. So they're happening in 2025.
Got it. Thanks. And third question: what would be the level of sustainable cash balances that you'd be comfortable with for the company? Maybe 25 million.
It is 25 million.
I'm sorry.
25 million is a sweet number.
25, thanks. And then lastly, any possibility? I know there's been some talk over the years of possibly expanding the tailings relationship with Codelco. Any possible further discussions on that, where they would be willing to allow Amerigo to expand its existing facilities?
I think I answered that in the prior question. Sorry about that. We remain interested for the right opportunities. I think there is no one else out there that has the experience recovering copper from copper tailings that Amerigo does. So as copper prices continue to be robust, copper tailings will be of interest in a different way for those tailings. And I think we're the first candidate they should look at there and then.
You think has there been an expression of interest maybe to expand their tailings processing arrangements or not at this time?
Well, with El Teniente, that's where we are at now. We are processing basically their fresh and Cauquenes tailings, so that relationship has expanded over time and has led us to where we are now at our stage with MVC and El Teniente. They have six other mines. Eventually, they will probably be interested in doing something similar and will be a prime candidate for them to consider. But there's nothing in front of us immediately to report back to you.
Great. Thanks again, and look forward to continued excellent management.
There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call over to Aurora for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. The recording and the script will be available on our website as soon as we get back from our providers. And as I mentioned earlier, we will talk again on August the 1st to discuss Q2 financial results. And in the meantime, you can always reach out to myself, to Carmen, or to Graham. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your line.